The legendary Hal Jackson was the first African American to be inducted into the National Association of Broadcasters in 1990. Yet another notable first was Hal's ownership of the first black basketball team to win the world championship, Hal Jackson's Washington Bears, who marched down Pennsylvania Avenue, met with President Roosevelt, still stand out as a major first in the world of sports. After 70 years, this team should be remembered for winning its games on the court and winning its fight against the rampant racial discrimination of its time, says Vince Tracy of the Washington Post. The sports promotion and basketball world championship, as told in the words of Hal Jackson. The four-day championship tournament was just 1 week away. The first person I contacted when I arrived in Chicago was Frank Forbes, who knew me as a sports writer in D.C. He had a radio show, and he invited me on to present my case, agreeing with me that the Bears belonged in the tournament. Frank also helped me get an appointment to see the mayor of Chicago, who knew that the response of Frank's radio show had been overwhelmingly in support of the Washington Bears playing in the tournament. The mayor must have persuaded the tournament organizers because the Bears finally got the invitation to play, although it came too late for us to be included in the printed program. I immediately returned to Washington to contact the players, who had to get permission from their employers to take the time off from work. Then I had to make travel arrangements. This was hard on short notice, but Abe Lichtman helped out financially, and miraculously, I got all the guys on the train in New York the night before the first round of the tournament. We rode all night, arrived in Chicago around 10 a.m., and went straight to the stadium for the first game. The tournament organizers were not too thrilled about having us shoved down their throats, and they thought they were going to get rid of us early by matching us up against a white team from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. But we clobbered them. Advancing to the quarterfinals, we faced the Rochester Royals, a National Basketball League squad. We had beaten them before, and we ran through them again. By the time we reached the semifinals, we had caught the imagination of Chicago just as we had Washington, D.C. We breezed through the semifinals, setting the stage for the final game against the Oshkosh All-Stars from Wisconsin. Thousands of fans jammed the Chicago Stadium to see that match. The biggest crowd in the arena's history, it was said. A lot was riding on that game. A lot of gambling money was also riding on that game. And it seemed that some folks in Chicago stood to lose a lot if the Bears won. I was about to leave the hotel where I was staying to go to the stadium when the hotel clerk told me there were some people waiting to see me in the lobby. I didn't know who they could be, but I went down anyway, only to find that the four white men, very tall, very big, according to the clerk, had left. So I put it out of my mind and left for the stadium. I arrived in advance of the team and went down to check out the dressing rooms and make sure that everything was in order before the guys showed up. When I walked back into the hall, four very large men suddenly surrounded me and hustled me through the crowded hallway back to the dressing room. Once inside, they locked the door. "We want to talk to you," one of them said. "You got to lose this game tonight." One of the other men reached inside a black traveling bag and pulled out a fistful of $100 bills. The rest of the bag was also filled with hundreds. "Money talks," he said. "You got to lose this game." "I don't know what you're talking about," I replied. "I can't control the ball players, and I'm not going to throw no games. I got $20,000 here to pay your players to lose. Money talks." Obviously, this hood had a very limited vocabulary. But that was okay with me because my theme stayed the same, too. No, I couldn't even approach the players with that kind of deal. It's impossible. Besides, I don't have anything to do with the team as far as playing is concerned. Tarzan Cooper is the coach. So they went to Tarzan. And Tarzan said, "You got the wrong man. You got the wrong people. We only play to win." When they offered him the bag full of money again, he said, "No way." Before they left, they came back to me, and the thug holding the bag of money gave me one last warning. "You be sure to lose this game if you want to get out of here," he said. "There's too much riding on this for us to lose." If any of the players had been approached by the hoods, they didn't bring it up. I didn't either. I wanted them to concentrate on the game. When we gathered the team together for the pregame strategy meeting, we talked basketball and basketball only. Our goal was to win. But Tarzan said to me, "I hope they don't do nothing to us." And I said, "We're going to be all right." There were a lot of black hoods in Chicago, too. I made some contacts. I was told, "Protect yourself and be ready for a quick getaway." So I quickly told the trainers and the gophers to pack up and be ready during the game. 5 sofa-driven black Cadillacs drove in under Chicago Stadium, our getaway cars. Meanwhile, the championship game was in progress, and it was close. Neither team ever established a comfortable lead, but we had a clear chance of winning. I had to inform the guys what was going on so they would be ready for a quick getaway. So I told them right before the fourth quarter started, and I think the situation only made them more motivated. Tarzan was in top form that night, but it was Pop Gates, backed by Zach Clayton, who finally clinched it for the Bears by 2 points. The Bears had swept the series, and the crowd was on their feet roaring. But the new basketball world champions didn't even take a bow. We hurried off the court, and instead of going to the dressing room, we headed through a side tunnel led by 2 black hoods who had been sitting near our bench. They were some pretty tough guys. Let me tell you, real roughnecks. I don't think they knew how to be afraid. The 2 hoods and the chauffeur were all packing guns, just in case anything went down. Our luggage was already in the cars and loaded up, and we piled in too. The players were still wearing their uniforms. The car sped away from Chicago Stadium and then from the city itself. We ended up in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. The mobsters had arranged all of this, and a guy who had owned 2 or 3 restaurants in Chicago directed us to various private homes in Sheboygan where we stayed the night. The next day, they took us to Oshkosh, where we boarded a train back to Washington. We never saw the guys who had threatened us, but we didn't feel safe until we were back in D.C. Thank you for listening to How Radio, How to Be a Man. This broadcast is made possible through a grant from the Friends of Southwest D.C.